Today, this is the first one for this new academic year 2014 and 15, and we are starting out with this particular important lectures today. And the title, as you know, the reordering of Indo-US relations, a possible roadmap for the Modi-Obama administrations. In this particular room, Professor Mahapatra is no stranger. He has been here to our department number of times on various occasions. So it's a real privilege and honor for us to have Professor Mahapatra. Just very briefly about these topics, I mean, Indo-US relations has also been a topic that I have been also studying for the last many, many years, and it has undergone a lot of transformations and a lot of paradigm shift. As far as this particular new administration is concerned, the Modi government in Delhi, I think a lot of things are continuing, a lot of things are also in the status of change. So what kind of change is this is going to be, that remains to be seen. As you know, our Prime Minister is going to Washington next month, so it remains to be seen what are the new items he is going to bring in, and a lot of activities are already taking place. Just a few weeks ago, the Secretary of State John Kerry was here in Delhi, and I think a week ago the Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel was here. There are a lot of issues to be discussed at the regional level, at the global level, in which both India and the US, they have got interest. For example, the issue in Afghanistan, the American troops exit from Afghanistan, the issue of ISIS in Syria and Iraq, the issue of Arab Spring and the leftover things, the issue of energy security, the issue of China, the issue of Pakistan, the issue of trilateralism like India, Japan and US, the issue in Asia Pacific, South China Sea, there are a host of issues, the WTO, that's another new items. So we just don't know where these both countries stand. There are areas in which they accommodate, there are also areas in which there is a discord. There is areas of rapprochement, there is also areas of disharmony. And also I think if you closely watch the Indo-US relation in the last 40, 50 years, it's on again, off again, blow hot, blow cold kind of relationship. There is also, there is another element of Indo-US relations beyond the trade, commerce and strategic issues, which is the issue of Indian diaspora. They also play a very significant role in American politics and also in the American mainstream. And to what extent they also impact the US-India relations, that also remains to be seen. And also I believe this issue of the emerging educational sector in India, where also US has a big stakes. I think maybe during Q&A session you will be prodding to ask some questions to Professor Mahapatra. So without wasting any time, Professor Mahapatra very closely is a very good friend of mine. We did our MPhil together long time ago, before you were born. Okay, we are old, we look old, we are old. Okay, and Professor Mahapatra has been a Fulbright Fellow in Maryland. He has been a Salzburg Global Fellow in Salzburg, Austria. He has been Australian Defense Studies Fellow in Canberra. And just 2 years ago, he was a ICCR Tagore Chair, India Chair, in Yunnan University in China. So without wasting, and he has got lots of books and articles, and he is very popular face in TV, in NDTV and all kinds of TV channels. So let us welcome and give a big round of applause to Professor Chintamani Mahapatra. Okay, Professor Mahapatra. So he will speak for about 20-25 minutes. Thereafter, the half an hour will take some Q&A. Thank you.
Good morning to all of you. Professor Alam, thank you so much for that series of compliments that you gave me. But you give me compliments if you think I'm talking sense. Because you can read somebody's bio data is fascinating, but when they interact and talk, it can be just the opposite. So the topic is too big, as Professor Alam said. The menu that he gave about Indo-US relationship is rather too long. Now, 20 minutes, menu 35, so you can imagine the plight of a speaker. What I'll do is I'll flag ideas on Indo-US relationship. Then during Q&A, we can discuss any aspect that you want. And I will share my views and opinions on that. And these days, unlike in the past, students are much brighter. You have more access to information. When we were students in JNU and the teacher would come, everything was blank in our mind. The teacher would give something because access to information was very limited. But these days you have so many ways to know what's going on in the world,
through social media, through internet, through so many different news channels and all that. So all of you know the background and all that. However, as Professor Alam again talked about, many things remain the same, new things are happening. I remember during my student days, one catchphrase in political science was continuity and change. It is always happening, continuity and change. But unless you know what was there, how can you identify whether something is changing or not? Right? So what I'll do is very quickly, I'll go to the past, present. In the introduction, you heard what's going on, how a PM is going to visit Washington next month. So what exactly is in store, how things are evolving, what is the current state of problems, we can appreciate, understand, analyze, examine better if we know a little bit about how things have evolved over the years. So I'll take you in a journey to the past, not to be the prisoner of history, but quickly come to the present. Professor Alam used a term called paradigm shift. That means occasionally the relationship has been transformational, more change and less continuity. So that is why it is important for us to see some watershed in the relationship. As students of IR and political science, all of you are familiar with the term Cold War, which ravaged around the world for about 40 years plus. During that Cold War time, what exactly was the relationship between our country and that country? Number one, during those time, the United States of America was a superpower, not a hyperpower yet. It was a superpower. And India, as you know very well, was a new state in the modern concept of statehood, newly independent state. Secondly, the United States was the richest country in the world. Still is. But India, during the Cold War time, for a large part of Cold War time, was one of the poorest countries in the world. Number three, because the US was a global power, one critical item that drove American foreign policy around the world because of Cold War was alliance politics. Kaun mere saath hai, kaun mere khilaaf hai. But India was neither saath nor khilaaf, in between. India was non-aligned. Saath saath bhi aur saath saath nahi bhi, depending on the issues and concerns and areas and all that. So India's policy was driven by non-alignment, and that was alliance politics. Three critical core areas of India's foreign policy, or India's interest rather, affected the relationship between India and the US in a very big way. One, the Kashmir issue. Two, overall US-Pakistan relationship. And three, the China factor. From the Indian side, these three were very, very critical in terms of national security issues. If you see the same relationship on the other side, it was containment of communism. Americans could not see anything clearly except in Cold War terms. Cold War. Anything that is going on anywhere, Soviet Union interference kitna hai. That was the critical factor that affected American policy. Now, Pakistan, as you know, during the Cold War time, actually prevented India's desire to have any close relationship with the USA. We complained, we craved, we condemned so many US policies towards Pakistan. And Pakistan stood on the way. If you see from the American perspective, it was the USSR or the Soviet Union. Look at the Indians. They are going close towards a communist country, ignoring a democratic country like USA, and they have such close defense cooperation with our number one adversary. So from the American perspective, it was India's perceived closeness towards the Soviet Union that came as the Chinese War between India and the USA. Economically, America promoted capitalism everywhere because they thought if there is capitalism abroad, they can make more money. Simple. But in case of India, because of our background, because of our social geography, because of our compulsion, because of our history, we could not embrace capitalism in toto. We announced a policy of socialistic pattern of development. So the American market, the Indian market was not as open to the American market as the Americans would have desired. So the mixed economy system or our quote-unquote socialistic pattern of society and American capitalism, it was a mismatch. There was cooperation, there were industrialists in India, there was an element of capitalism in India, but overall if you see, as they would say, the potential was huge, potential was never realized. Democracy, multiculturalism, political values like free press and the rule of law, very, very nice, catchy phrases that you are familiar in political science. And many Americans who come to India would harp on this factor. Even as recently as the three cabinet officers from USA coming to India, largest democracy, most powerful democracy, all these nice concepts of political science were completely meaningless in the relationship between USA and India during the Cold War time, because the priorities were different, as I explained. But the moment the Cold War was over, I don't know how many of you were born when the Cold War was over. We were good students of IR that time. There was a paradigm change. There was a paradigm change because a system collapsed. And the change was inevitable. Not because India wanted, not because America planned, but because it happened. It happened. In that paradigm change, the important two factors that stood as the Chinese wall between India and the USA, that is Pakistan and USSR, those factors disappeared. Pakistan did not dictate India's approach towards the United States, nor did Soviet Union exist to dictate the American policy towards India. And another important thing happened, the paradigm change, and that was there was relatively more convergence of economic interest between the two countries. As you recall, communism as a system, communism as an ideology, communism as a method of economic planning is disappeared with the Soviet Union and the death of Eurocommunism and the Chinese hugging the capitalists from around the world. So even India had to institute economic reforms. So India's opening up to the market, it suited American capitalism very well. So while the two Chinese walls disappeared, there was convergence on the economic issues. And finally, another critical development that took place after the end of the Cold War was the spread of terrorism. The non-state actors became more powerful in the new context of the post-Cold War era. And that led to certain amount of convergence of interest between India and the USA. And all of you know what happened. But that incident, I mean the terrorism as an issue, was not a very critical factor bringing Indians and Americans together even after the end of the Cold War. There was yet another paradigm shift in the overall equation, and that happened in the wake of 9/11 incident. So from 2001 onwards, terrorism became a critical converging factor in Indo-US relationship apart from capitalism. Now, during that time, 2001 onwards, we have had two administrations in the US. The Bush administration and the Obama administration. The broad picture that happened since 2001 onwards are the following. Number one, India and the US, which were so critical of each other on defense and security issues during the Cold War time, found that the Indo-US defense cooperation became more and more deep and intense during the Bush era. India backed the American military intervention, rather war, in Afghanistan. And it was India, in the midst of American military presence in Afghanistan, invested huge amount of money, roughly about $2 billion in Afghanistan. For Indian economy, that was a hell of a lot of money. And we did that. And then, of course, the Americans, in a way, willy-nilly, restrained Pakistan from backing those groups in Pakistan which were hardcore anti-India. And now, in the process, the relationship became close in defense and security areas. I can go on and on for 40 minutes only on defense cooperation, but let me not dwell there. Another important development that took place in 2001 onwards, all of you know very well, and somebody's thesis here, is the 1-2-3 agreement signed between India and the USA, Civil Nuclear Cooperation Agreement. That was a paradigm shift. For 30 years, India was targeted as a country that should be prevented from acquiring nuclear-related technology and equipment. But signing this agreement means India was no longer the target, and that was a big change. George Bush exits, Obama is in. During the Obama one period, many Indians began to debate, argue, think, express their anxiety and fear. The 1-2-3 agreement was signed by the Bush administration, there was a Republican administration, they had a definite plan about India, they were executing a war in Afghanistan and all. What will happen now that Obama is in power? He and his partner like Hillary Clinton were talking about non-proliferation mantra, will send the CTBT back to Senate. So there was anxiety in India. But what happened during Obama 1? I would say Obama 1 walked a few steps ahead of George Bush 1 and 2 and promised many more things to India. Instead of creating problem in the non-proliferation area or wanting implementation of the 1-2-3 agreement, they rather promised more. And first, of course, he invited our Prime Minister as the number one state guest after his inauguration. That was a prestigious issue. Prestigious issue. And then when Obama comes here, what does he say? He says, okay, my predecessor gave you 1-2-3 agreement. I promise. I'll support your membership in the expanded UN Security Council. Indians are very happy. Promise dena se hum khush ho jate hain. And then he said, oh, India was the target of non-proliferation regimes like MTCR and NSG. We will make you a member there. So the same regimes which are targeting India would now welcome India as a member. It's a big promise. You know. And of course, during his time, there were a lot of intelligence cooperation. The defense trade continued. In the last 10 years, roughly, 7-8 years, we have purchased about $10 billion worth of American defense equipment. Before that, India refused to buy things from America. America refused to offer anything to India during the Cold War time. It's a big change. And then, of course, the number of military exercises that began during the Bush era continued and became more and more deep and more sophisticated. The military exercises, army to army, navy to navy, air force to air force, even counterintelligence operations and all that during the Obama one era. Even trade relationship between the two also improved considerably. Here Obama got yet another term. Things began to change. Things began to change. The trade was going on, but it was not vibrant. It was not vibrant. India expected that the promises would be delivered and at least technology would be transferred. Not much of technology came that India demanded from the USA. Then India had not many complaints in last couple of years about the American policy. Number one, as you know, was the IPR, the intellectual property rights issue. A lot of fight between the two. Indians are violating intellectual property rights and American companies are suffering billions of dollars of loss. This was the American complaint. And then the Americans put a lot of restrictions on our pharmaceutical companies, Ranbaxy and so many other companies, because we sell generic drugs. We have a huge market in the USA for selling drugs. And suddenly they targeted the Indian companies, had a lot of complaints, and restricted their export of medicine. Yeh sahi nahi hai, iska patenting nahi hai, wherever you manufacture this medicine, wo ganda jaga hai. Is type ka karke, there was a target. Then of course, the airline security. You know, every airlines, national airlines are given a certain rank, whether it is secure to fly an Indian airlines or not. they downgraded the Indian airline security status and all that. Then of course we have had so many disputes related to IPO and even other trade related issues in WTO between the two countries. Americans also had a lot of complaints. They said, we cooperated in energy area. Now you have come out with another constraining factor, 20% of domestic content. If an American company is going to produce some solar panel in India, then there was a requirement that 20% of things that you buy to make this panel buy from India. And there was a lot of complaint from the American side. Then of course the perennial complaint for quite some time now, that by enacting your Nuclear Liability Act, you are not fulfilling your side of the promise. When we spend so much of political, diplomatic capital in ensuring that India is no longer the target of the non-proliferation regime, and we have done that, now you are, by enacting this bill, preventing the American companies from doing business in India. There was expectation that the nuclear reactor business would be worth $50 billion. Nothing came. So that was the American complaint. Then of course, if you remember how Hillary Clinton came to promote entry of Walmart into India and multi-brand things. Because Mamata Banerjee was opposing it, very critical, she comes straight to Calcutta first, not to Delhi, and talks to Mamata Banerjee. Nothing doing. We would not allow this multi-brand product entry into India. So, and the list is rather longer. On the political issues or diplomatic issues, India and the US, you know, which are celebrating rather in all these speeches and writing strategic partnership, that came under threat. Because on a host of issues that was taking place around the world, whether it is developments in Ukraine or Syria or handling the nuclear issues in Iran or Iraq or other Arab Spring issues or Libya, Washington and New Delhi were on the different side of the diplomatic divide. So what would happen to this strategic partnership? This was what happening during the Obama to era, and then suddenly about 8 to 9 months ago, you had this Devjani Khobragarh episode where an Indian diplomat, a consul, was humiliated by the American law enforcement authorities with the full knowledge of the State Department. And all of you must have watched on television how Indians, starting from an ordinary man to Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, were barking against the Americans. Bow, bow. Are Manmohan Singh, who would not make a statement even in 3 months, wohi kuch bol dala. I remember having a big fight with somebody, some former editor of Hindustan Times. I was just suggesting, I think Rajasavati, we are suggesting, our Prime Minister should pick up the phone and talk to Obama rather than make a long speech in Parliament and kri oda ho amai aise kar diya. And that fellow said, how can you say like that? This is an insult to Parliament. I said, I am an Indian citizen, I have every right to make my opinion. I am simply saying the best way to resolve a problem like this is to draw the attention of the highest authority in the United States. When Raymond Davis was mistreated and humiliated in Pakistan, he was arrested, put behind the bars in the police station, Obama called the Pakistani president. And who is Manmohan Singh? Can't you talk to Obama? So, you know that from that time onwards, all the issues that I talked to you about, pharmaceutical, airline security, all negatives really came to the surface and began to define the relationship. India gave a very cool reception. Neither said yes nor said no. You're the typical Indian style. Haavi mat bolo, haavi mat bolo. Americans are so excited. We are going to pivot to Asia. No reaction. Indo-Pacific is a better way of discussing things than Asia-Pacific. Americans thought India would khush ho jayega. Indo ho gaya na? India zyada khush nahi hua. Oppose bhi nahi kiya. So very cool reception and all. In the backdrop of this kind of negativities, charging the atmosphere of Indo-US relationship, you had election in India. And something unexpected, unknown, undesired probably by so many to happen. And BJP came to power with Modi becoming the strong man. अब क्या होगा? अच्छे दिन आने वाले हैं. अब जो होगा देखो. Americans, if you have not seen yet, you can see yesterday I wrote a very brief commentary in IPCS website. I have a regular column called Eagle Eye. उसमें मैंने लिखा है, little bit. Americans have been throughout very pragmatic people. Sometimes it's so pragmatic that if you tell them, they could feel ashamed. A person whom they denied visa for several years is becoming the prime minister of a country. That was not the American desire. They did not even expect. But that happened. So how to deal with this new situation in India? For the first time, a non-Congress government getting absolute majority in the parliament. वो पहले खिचड़ी पार्टी तो बहुत थे, जनता पार्टी एंड ऑल दैट. वो जनता पार्टी ऐसा खिचड़ी बन गया, पीपल बिगेन टू जोक, मार मार के जनता पार्टी बना दूंगा, मतलब टुकड़ा टुकड़ा कर दूंगा उस टाइप का. एंड देन यू हैड एनडीए टाइप एंड यूपीए टाइप एंड यू नो व्हाट हैपेंड ड्यूरिंग कोएलिशन पॉलिटिक्स इन इंडिया. बट अमेरिकन्स रियलाइज दैट हियर इज अ पार्टी व्हिच हैज कैप्चर्ड सो मेनी सीट्स इन द पार्लियामेंट एंड दिस गाय इज गोइंग टू रन द शो फॉर 5 years. ओबामा 2 साल के बाद चले अपने घर. But Modi will be there for 5 years. And American pragmatism dictated that Obama swallowed his ego, which is good for all of you, individuals, nation states, leaders, sabko chahiye, swallow your ego, picked up the phone and congratulated him and invited him to Washington DC. Secretary of State John Kerry picked up the phone, spoke to Sushma Swaraj after she became the foreign minister. Since then, 23 American officials have visited New Delhi. In 1 week recently, 3 cabinet level officials have visited New Delhi. Not a single Indian cabinet official has visited Washington yet. Take note of this. And Modi has agreed to go to Washington next month. Hats off to Modi. Learn from him. For several years, you know, for many ordinary Indians, it was humiliating that somebody who won the election for 3 terms and became the chief minister of a state was denied a visa by the Americans. There is no record that Americans denied a visa to Hitler or Mussolini or any dictator. They have hugged so many dictators. Chandu Juan of South Korea, Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines, Anastasio Somoza of Somalia. So hugging to kya hai? But visa deny nahi kya. Modi never complained even once ki mujhe kyun visa nahi diya. And the moment Obama bola, aa jao, well, aa jaunga. Promptly, this is Modi pragmatism. Right? Alright. But I think Modi had his own way of signaling. Obama picks up the phone and congratulates him, invites him, he says, okay. Chinese foreign minister talks to him and he says, okay, please come and I welcome even your president to visit India. Then he goes to Brazil. In Brazil, he meets both Xi Jinping as well as Putin and invites Putin. Ab tak Obama ko invitation nahi mila hai from Modi. This is one way of signaling. Many people thought that now at least India will try to repair the relationship with the United States in a very effective manner, and nay. He decided to go to Bhutan and not to Washington. I remember soon after Modi's election, I wrote on my Facebook, Modi should not be in a hurry to rush to Washington. in 3 hours I got 100 likes, but cut case. Even Indians did not want him to go to Washington that quickly. Right? Alright. So he has signaled that the priority for Indian foreign policy is going to be our immediate neighborhood. While inviting the Chinese president and Putin to India, he said, Japan baad mein jaunga. That itself was a signal that this government probably will improve relationship with major powers, particularly the United States and its allies, on its own terms. There is no excitement. We will decide what is priority for India and accordingly we will move. Future. Am I within time or just, yeah, maybe 2 minutes I'll finish so that we can have Q&A. Kya hone wala hai? You think I'm an astrologer? Analyst. When Kerry and Penny, the Commerce Secretary and the Secretary of State visited India, if you notice what happened during that time, it in a way signaled things to come, and that will be more continuity in economic areas and in diplomatic areas. The divergences between the two countries will remain, and it may accentuate in the future, simply because Modi is going to meet Obama. The differences in all those areas that I explained, whether Ukraine or Iran or Iraq or Syria or ISIS, it's not going to disappear. It will change. It may become more intense, it may become less intense, but it will remain. Same in the field of economics. One of the things he hinted that even when Kerry till the last moment was saying it is in the interest of the whole world that India should not block that TFA in WTO, Trade Facilitation Act, but India did not budge. India did not budge. That was a big message to the world and to the United States. On one IPR issue called steel sale of steel, Indian steel in America, America said you guys are dumping, we went to the WTO. In WTO, we won the case. So on IPR issues, Super 301, Special 301, other kinds of trade-related issues, there will be problems. Americans thought Modi is the man of the corporate sector in India and is going to open up India, all Americans will come and India. But that is not going to happen. It is going to be in a major way opening up. So this is in a way the future. Problems, differences, divergences in diplomatic, economic issues will remain. But on the defense and security field, there may be more convergence. I will not go into the details, I will just give you hints. The issue of terrorism in the region after the American and NATO troops withdrawal from Afghanistan, China's muscle flexing periodically, critical security issues in the Indian Ocean, and of course convergence of certain interest in the Asia Pacific, and the energy security issues will really make India and the US partners in the future. In the bullet form, challenges. It's my view. A new Cold War has started. I am using the term new Cold War because I am yet to be able to invent a new term. I can't. But learning by what happened for 40 years after World War II, I can see glimpses of similar things happening. Not identical. It is going to be a different kind of tension, but it has started. And the China-US relationship also is going to be much more complex. Economically, there will be closer, and strategically, there will be far. And in this kind of new systemic changes that is slowly occurring, the real challenge for India is to how to navigate in this troubled water yet again. A new normal alignment, again, in the absence of a new term, is necessary or not. but my mind is full of ideas. I'm sure your mind is bubbling with ideas. So let's have some Q&A. And thank you so much for your patient listening.
Okay, thank you, Professor Mahapatra, for a very succinct and very well-defined and very enlightened presentation. I think now is the time for taking Q&A. I believe we have got about 20-25 minutes. So let us take one from the right and one from the left. Okay. So, yes.
Good morning to you, sir. I've been listening to you very carefully, and most of the things I've noted down. So I would like to ask you your opinion on the Lucky's policy of Modi administration. Because if we see, as you said, that Obama hasn't got any invitation yet, but Putin and the Chinese president has got. So this is the thing, and the, this is the thing which is, you know, quite fascinating, because India is termed as a new, you know, someone who is entering into the capitalist era, right? But still, India is, you know, is not forgetting the P.V. Narasimha Rao's policy of look east. So, you know, what are the prospects of India when we talk about China and Russia as compared to USA? Plus to that, our neighbors. I remember I.K. Gujral's Gujral doctrine. And the first part of the doctrine itself said that we should have great relations with our neighbors. We should do good things with them and, you know, just forget about it. So this is what he's doing right now. He has been doing things which hasn't been done by any Indian PM from the last many years, which happened in Bhutan, which happened in Nepal. There have been many protocols which have been breached from there. So what do you think, you know, in such interesting international scenario, what is your take on this contrasting views?
Take one or a couple of them.
Yeah, or maybe briefly if I say, then we can take more questions.
Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah,
so that I don't forget also.
Yes, sir.
I'll be very brief.
Yes,
I'll just hint.
Yes.
Asia Pacific is becoming increasingly important for India in terms of trade and investment. Our trade with Asia is more now than our trade with the Western countries. Now, sometimes China becomes number one trading partner, replacing the USA, and again USA bounces back, sometimes UAE and all. So the India's economic engagement in this part of the world is now developing faster. So the Lucas policy will continue to be important. Rather now, the new term is engage the East, not just look, but engage. India has become a full dialogue partner of ASEAN. India has become a full-fledged member of ARF. India is a founding member of EAS. India is having a trilateral dialogue with Japan and the USA. Indo-Japan defense ties are going to improve and all. India is not neglecting China at all. So South Korea is coming in a very big way. Australia is showing more and more interest now. So this area is important for India, and it will remain so. It will increase in coming times. About the neighborhood, what Gujral said, Modi is doing. As you yourself said, many PMs said many things but not doing. But in so many years, this guy is really giving emphasis to the neighborhood. First he goes to Bhutan, then he sends Sushma Swaraj to Nepal, then he himself goes to Nepal. In Nepal he becomes a hero. Even Prachanda, who was rabidly anti-India, praises him in three languages, Nepali, Hindi and English. Then he sends Sushma Swaraj to Bangladesh. Now Sushma is going to Myanmar. So it is important. Of course, inauguration, he invited even Nawaz Sharif and all. So I think whoever is advising Modi knows that if the neighborhood is troubled, we cannot grow economically, and the foreign powers always create problems in the neighborhood. They take advantage of India-Pakistan differences. If SAARC becomes a success story, it's going to be a huge market. It's not happening because of our problem in the neighborhood.
Yes,
so he is taking the right step. I would say this is a right step.
Thank you, sir.
So I have a couple of questions about the events in the news in the recent weeks. The first one is about the BRICS Bank. You know, it is undermining the status of the IMF, and the BRICS even does not include United States in it. So what do you think would be the implications of the BRICS Bank on the IMF and the United States from India's perspective? And the second question is about the recent veto India did to the WTO vote in Geneva that was considering relaxing of the international custom duties and taxes. what will be its implications on the Indo-US ties? Because India was the only one country that we don't do.
Okay. Very briefly again, you know, in the newspapers, many people are saying that BRICS Bank now is going to compete with IMF and World Bank. Let me use a strong word. This is bullshit. I'll tell you why. Why IMF was created to manage the balance of payment crisis. If a country is not able to finance the trade, then IMF comes in. Only in the 1990s, after the end of the Cold War, IMF was used under the Washington Consensus by the Americans to either reward or punish. India could be 1991, may imagine the balance of payment crisis and all that. BRICS Bank is not going to do that. Number two, World Bank is meant for giving long-term, low-interest loan for developmental purposes. Only in recent years, there were a lot of cribbing that China and India have developed enough. We are not going to give them loan anymore. We should target more, less developed countries and all. So their agenda is different. Their capitalization is huge. The membership is almost universal. Four or five countries together create a BRICS bank and say they are going to now compete with IMF and World Bank. This is sheer nonsense. Is it less important? Is it unnecessary? No. BRICS bank has its role. At least there is an effort by the emerging powers to come together, contribute equitable amount of money, create a new bank for developmental purposes in the region. In other words, they are trying to create a sub-regional, low-scale alternative to IMF and World Bank, where politics dominates decision-making. Here, a different kind of politics is going to determine. Fearing that China would come and dominate, China was saying that we are going to contribute many more. Other countries said no. It has to be equitable. Why? Because otherwise, your voting power, your influence will be much more. You begin to arm twist others. Then, as a trade-off between China and India, it was decided the headquarters will be in Shanghai, but an Indian would be the first president. In other words, they are trying to make, see, China, India, great economies. Russia, because of its energy. Brazil, South Africa economy. But even then, because of this inequality, they are trying to have some kind of grouping at the emerging level stage and create something new as an experiment. It is yet to take birth. At the inception, we should not be claiming big success, IMF ko badla lenge, WTO ko, sorry, World Bank ko hara denge, aisa nahi hona chahiye. About the other thing, India saying no, India was not the only country to say no. India had some friends from the developing countries. But it so happened that even the Pakistanis and the Chinese and BRICS, all BRICS members, they were supporting the other side and all. It is not going to affect Indo-US relationship. It is not going to affect even WTO. New kind of negotiations are going to begin. That time, to put a psychological pressure, they said, if India says no, WTO will be undermined. How can WTO be undermined? Look at Doha. Doha round, they have been experimenting. See, it is a grand bargain. In that grand bargain, India is leading yet again the developing countries. So it is not going to affect directly the relationship between India and the USA. Yeah. All of you know something that I'm going to remind you. There are no permanent friends or enemies in IR. It keeps changing. It keeps changing. You take the relationship between any two individuals, any two countries, any two unequal countries. You know, it's like seasonal. Aaj garmi hai, kal thand ho jayegi, phir barish ho jayegi, kuch type ka. Depending on the issues, depending on the concerns, depending on the vital interest, always the temperature will be up, down, up, down, up, down. Kerry came here with a message that we are thinking that what Obama said earlier, that India and the US can be indispensable partner of the 21st century, let us make it. Saying so is not enough. So he has come with this new emphasis on doing something to realize the potential. We should welcome that. But on what terms and conditions, we will bargain. कोई दोस्त नहीं होता, दोस्त दोस्त ना रहा वो तो हमेशा होता है.
Yes.
Now we can take all the supervisors. Too many.
I think let us take, yeah, you can go first. Yes. Yeah.
Sir, I'd like to ask a question related to India's strategic neighborhood. Sir, you talked about terrorism in South Asia. So in India's extended neighborhood, where India has been taking a great role in terms of promoting the soft power in Afghanistan, and the difference that India has with Pakistan's military army, that do you think the recent all-out offensive by the Pakistan army against the Tehrik-e-Taliban to address the future concerns of India in Afghanistan, when the situation has come, the BDSA has still not been signed, and still there is a political turmoil, and the candidates are not able to reconcile despite the independent audit, and there is a lot of conflict that is emerging with the audit. So the question that I'd like to pose, that despite the differences and despite Modi's solid steps to strengthen the relations in the neighborhood, would it ever address India's concerns in its strategic neighborhood in Afghanistan? Thank you.
Can we take a couple of more? Yeah. Can we take another couple of more? Yes.
सर मेरा आपसे एक प्रश्न है, ये साक्टा को लेकर जो हमने सार्क के अंदर एक अलग संस्था बनाई जिसके अंदर ये काम करेगा इकोनॉमिक प्लान में, ये पूछना चाहता हूँ क्या मोदी के आने का सक्सेस होगा, क्या पाकिस्तान हमारे इसमें साथ देगा, हमें टैरिफ को कम करेगा?
सर माय क्वेश्चन इज ऑन ओबामा एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन. सो यू टोल्ड अस दैट ऑन द इकोनॉमिक ग्राउंड द रिलेशनशिप विल स्टिल रिमेन शेकी, हाउएवर इन द डिफेंस सेक्टर देन देयर द चांसेस ऑफ इंप्रूवमेंट. However, we all know that political ideologies shape the political discourse, and we also aware of the fact that Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel has a very pessimistic attitude towards India. He gave an interview 2 years back where he said that India is using Afghanistan to create instability in Pakistan. So that position of Chuck Hagel might affect the strategic relationship of India in future discourse.
Sir, you said that neighborhood is the first priority for Narendra Modi. Modi sir, why
does
Pakistan figure in
the
scheme of things?
I think there is one here.
Yeah. Sir, I would like to know, like, the NSA scandal as it is being revealed, we have seen like Germany, Angela Merkel is hardening her stance, but like India, because we know that BJP is like approved by the federal government, federal court of USA to be spied upon. So shouldn't they, like India harden its stance or like appeal in the UN General Assembly or something to prevent the NSA?
Yeah, that's right.
Sir, few days ago in the BJP convention, 2-3 days ago, Modi made a point against WTO in a public domain. Don't you think he should have resisted himself and followed diplomatic protocols before making a statement?
Okay. I think for the timing, let us hold on to it.
Quickly remind me, there is Afghanistan, right?
Yes.
Afghanistan. You know, one is an ideal solution, the other one is the reality. The ideal solution is this. What is ideal today can be real tomorrow. But you know, it all depends on very many equations in the future. Ideal is this. A new kind of conflict is now unraveling on the world stage between the state actors and the non-state actors, SA and NSA. What is happening in Iraq, in ISIS, in certain part of Syria and Libya, certain part of Afghanistan and Pakistan. These non-state actors are becoming more powerful and challenging the authority of the state. But the state, whoever is running the state, when I say state, it's basically the governments, the civil society, the political elite. When the realization is not going to get into the head that this time has come where we must check the NSA, if we don't do it together, it is going to be creation of a new state of nature where might is right. Ye ho raha hai. Imagine a few years ago, about 10 years ago, 13 years ago, before 9/11 incident, so many bomb blasts in India, in mosque, in temple, in marketplace, in educational institution in Bangalore, so many, right? Kashmir was burning, Punjab was pehle, Northeast mein is going on for a long, long time. See the situation today. Not a day passes without some bomb going up somewhere in Pakistan, or some guy killed by some militant or jihadi or whatever in Pakistan. Not a day passes. That means what? That means today Pakistan is under siege. And this problem is going to accentuate after the American troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. The Taliban, quote unquote, whoever is Taliban, is going to get a moral boost. We, if they could deal with the NATO forces and American forces, the Pakistani corner, the Indians corner, so they'll get a moral boost. And if that happens, what kind of impact it will have on the law and order situation in Pakistan, in India, is anybody's guess. So I believe that if Narendra Modi in India and Nawaz Sharif in Pakistan realize this and move ahead, a concerted effort against NSA, non-state actors. There was a time when it suited the Pakistani state to promote some NSA to fix India. But now those instruments are dictating terms to the state. There are bombs exploding in front of military headquarters, naval headquarters in Pakistan. Right? So this is a loud and strong message to the political elite in both the countries. Jo ho gaya, ho gaya, aage badho. But is it going to happen? That is the million dollar question. And it is not an easy question to answer. And the effort is going to be really very, very difficult. But I believe, I'm an optimist, that things are going to change in the near future. But it's not easy. Next, kya tha aapka?
Chuck Hagel.
You know, never take for granted what the political leaders say. Once in opposition, they will say something. Once in power, they will say something. In 2011, when he made the statement, he was a Republican senator. And today, he is the defense secretary. Right? So he will say, that time I said something, but we have to move forward. I am not the one who is going to be the prisoner of the past. I am looking ahead of Indo-US relationship. But mind you, NDTV fellows, my government did not deny visa to Modi. Unhone kya tha? Twitter mein dekhiye. Twitter mein bolta hai ki Obama, the president, was not aware that Modi was not denied a visa. Matlab, jo bol dia, aage socho, and they will change their statement, their interpret, reinterpret, so that whatever is desirable, those things can be achieved. Aapka kya tha? Pakistan saath dega, nahi dega, again it all depends on overall relationship between the two. Because, you know, like in India you have the nationalists, then you have the leftists, then you have the liberals. Overall, broadly if you divide them. Pakistan mein kya? You have the army, you have the political leadership.
But sir, abhi agar dekhe, Jarzi Azbek, unhone naya ek bill laya, 470 ka atomic bomb mara unhone, kya usse teri wajah British stand in kar gaya.
मैं आपको यही ये बताने जा रहा हूँ कि जैसे इंडिया में अलग अलग ग्रुप हैं, सबका अपना अपना इंटरेस्ट है, अपना अपना एजेंडा है. पाकिस्तान में जो है ना, क्लियर कट पाकिस्तान आर्मी का एक अपना एजेंडा होता है, पॉलिटिकल लीडरशिप सिविल सोसाइटी अपना होता है, और जितने भी मिलिटेंट सेक्शन है कोट अनकोट उनका अपना होता है. काफी सारे मिलिटेंट ग्रुप्स ना आर्मी की सुनते हैं ना ISI की सुनते हैं. अभी एट वन टाइम दे वर लिसनिंग, बट नाउ दे डोंट इवन लिसन टू ISI. राइट? तो वो जो मल्टीपल एक्टर्स हैं पाकिस्तान डिसीजन मेकिंग में, ये बहुत कॉम्प्लेक्स है. क्योंकि एक स्टेप अगर उस तरफ से आता है, दूसरा उसको नेगेट करने के लिए कुछ कर देता है, जैसे मुंबई में हुआ था. जब जब कोई दोस्ती के हाथ बढ़ाते हैं कोई भी सरकार, उधर की या इधर की, कोई जाके कोई बम लगा देगा, बाकी सारे जो सेक्शन है, ओ उन्होंने बम लगा दिया, पाकिस्तान बम लगा दिया. अरे पाकिस्तान बम नहीं लगाया भाई, पाकिस्तान ही लगाया, पाकिस्तान नहीं लगाया. बिकॉज पाकिस्तान इज नॉट ए यूनिटरी स्टेट. तो इसीलिए पाकिस्तान का रवैया क्या होगा, क्या नहीं होगा, कहना बहुत मुश्किल है. पाकिस्तान साथ देगा नहीं देगा, कहना मुश्किल है. गाजा पे जब UN रेजोल्यूशन हुआ, पाकिस्तान और हिंदुस्तान एक साथ थे, अमेरिका उस तरफ था. देयर वाज सम इंसिडेंट वेयर इंडियंस एंड पाकिस्तान आर टुगेदर, बट देयर आर सो मेनी अदर इंस्टांसेस वेयर दे कैन क्वारल लाइक एनीथिंग. तो कहना मुश्किल है. थर्ड कौन था, क्या था आपका? स्नूपिंग में एवरी कंट्री डज इट. इंडिया में जो पॉलिटिकल थॉट है चाणक्य से लेकर आज तक देखोगे, अपने इंटेलिजेंस सिस्टम बीसी का भी होगा, वाइस चांसलर्स का भी होता है, हर एक स्टेट में, हर एक जगह ही होता है. कौन ज़्यादा अच्छा करता है, अमेरिकन्स करते हैं ज़्यादा, क्योंकि दे हैव दैट फैसिलिटीज एंड ऑल. अच्छा, तो मर्केल डिड नॉट से एनीथिंग. मर्केल बिगेन टू फ्लेक्स अ मसल ओनली आफ्टर ए सेकेंड इंसिडेंट, जिसमें CIA पुट ए मोल इन द जर्मन इंटेलिजेंस. अगर CIA ने RAW में मोल भी था, एक भाग्य था जॉइंट सेक्रेटरी, वो सबसे खतरनाक वही होता है. आपका इंटेलिजेंस में अगर काउंटर इंटेलिजेंस वहां बाहर का घुस गया, देन सत्यानाश. सो वो सबसे डेंजर है. बट मोदी सर, व्हाई डू यू थिंक सुषमा स्वराज मेड इट लाउड एंड क्लियर पब्लिकली ऑन टेलीविजन? दोस्तों के बीच ऐसे नहीं होना चाहिए, अनएक्सेप्टेबल. काफी स्ट्रांग स्टेटमेंट था. क्यों था? नॉट बिकॉज दे डिड नॉट नो कि ऐसा होता था, बट बिकॉज 2010 में जब स्नूपिंग हुआ था और जो परमिशन मिला था, कौन कौन थे वहां? वहां थे एक हमास एफिलिएटेड ग्रुप, सॉरी हेजबोला एफिलिएटेड ग्रुप इन लेबनान, पाकिस्तान पीपुल्स पार्टी और एक सम वियर्ड नेम, एंड देन BJP. तो इट्स लाइक समबडी सेइंग प्रोफेसर महापात्र, एडोल्फ हिटलर. एंड मुझे बुरा लगा, यार या आलम साहब का नाम लो, हिटलर का नाम क्यों ले रहे हो? तो खुंदा कोई था. हाउ कैन यू इक्वेट BJP विथ हिज़्बुल्लाह एंड पाकिस्तान एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट? इसलिए जो बोलना था बोल दिया, उसे आगे कुछ नहीं होने वाला, कुछ नहीं होने वाला. नेक्स्ट.
सर, मोदी मेड अ स्टेटमेंट इन रीसेंट डेज इन दिस कन्वेंशन, इन द BJP कन्वेंशन अबाउट अगेंस्ट WTO. डज इट अफेक्ट इंडिया US रिलेशनशिप?
देखो, और एक आप लोगों में कोई भी कभी नेता बनना है ना, तो आपको मालूम होगा कि आपका दो कॉन्स्टिट्यूएंसी होंगे, एक अंदर एक बाहर. जब मोदी अपना नेशनल कन्वेंशन में कुछ बोल रहा है, उसका ऑडियंस है BJP, हार्ड कोर BJP, जो कि स्वदेशी की बात करते हैं, बाहर से कुछ नहीं खरीदेंगे, इंडिया में बनाएंगे. और गांधी का वही चीज उनको अच्छा लगता है, चरखा वाला, राइट? पर दे अदर पीपल, मोदी तो सारे बिजनेस कॉरपोरेट का दोस्त है, वो तो इंडिया को बदल डालेगा बोलता है, रिफॉर्म करेगा बोलता है. तो इसलिए व्हेन ए नेता सेज समथिंग, उसको आप लोग जानते हैं डिकंस्ट्रक्ट करना है उस स्टेटमेंट को, देन ओनली यू नो दैट ये तो पॉलिटिकल स्टेटमेंट है. और क्या था
रिगार्डिंग पाकिस्तान?
क्या था वो?
व्हाई डज पाकिस्तान फिगर इन मोदी सीकिंग ऑफिस? सर, इमीडिएट नेबर.
या या या, ये मेरा पार्टली एस्ट्रोलॉजी है, पार्टली इंफॉर्मेशन है. मोदी विल गो टू पाकिस्तान इन द एंड. पहले चले गए भूटान, फिर नेपाल, फिर श्रीलंका जाएंगे, शायद बांग्लादेश, पाकिस्तान जाएंगे ही जाएंगे, उनका एजेंडा में है. एंड ही इज नॉट इग्नोरिंग पाकिस्तान, ही इज नॉट इग्नोरिंग पाकिस्तान. ओके,
थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर वेरी एनलाइटनिंग क्वेश्चंस एंड वेरी प्रोविंग क्वेश्चंस, पर्सुएसिव एंड आल्सो प्रोवोकेटिव्स. एंड थैंक्स टू प्रोफेसर चिंतामणि महापात्रा फॉर ए very timely presentation. As I said, this is the beginning of this new academic year and we have just begun pretty well. And next week also on Tuesday, the 19th, we have another interesting lectures coming up by Professor Sushma Yadav from IGNU, followed by Professor Narang and then Professor Ujjwal Singh from Delhi Institute. Also, let me tell you the audience that at the end of October, October 27 and 28, we are having a two-day national conference on India and the world. So we'll keep you informed. So thank you once again for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, phone after. Hey, thanks, Kevin.